Yep. All righty. Well, tonight, being it, in the book of Acts tonight, I'm going to be in chapter 3, 4, and then I might go back to chapter 2, I don't know. But here in chapter 4 is speaking about where Peter had addressed the Sanhedrin, and not only that, where he had told them about the Lord Jesus Christ and mentioned to them about the salvation that they could receive. But yet they just didn't like it. They just didn't like the way the Lord was preaching. They just didn't like anything about what God was saying through the Lord Jesus Christ. But says in verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now that's what he was telling the Sanhedrin. That's what he was telling the people there. And he was telling them about the Savior. Dr. Luke, he's telling the people there Luke and Peter and John and all of them here, he was telling them about the Savior. The one that took away their sin and forgiven them and planted their feet on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. Now, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." We're having people today that they're looking and they want salvation, but they're looking and trying to get it in the wrong places. It's number one place that you can receive salvation. And that's through the preaching of the Word of God. And it says right here, it says over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. I like to turn to it because if I miss one word, it's going to take a whole meaning apart. But we need to realize too that it says, "For I am not ashamed." This is Paul. This was after Paul had come to the knowledge. This was after Paul had went on that road to Damascus. And he was knocked to the ground by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because we know that the Holy Spirit can show up. We can see, we cannot see him, but we can feel his presence. And when we feel our presence, when we feel the Holy Spirit's presence, we must abide by it. Paul right here says, "I am not ashamed." He's not ashamed of what he says about the Lord Jesus Christ, because Paul knew where he come from. Paul knew that he was once dead. Paul also knew that he was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the Christians. He was having them killed. And Paul might have went on and he should have went on and took the sword himself and killed them and chopped their heads off and different things like that. But he gave the orders to have that done. And he was just as guilty as the one that actually done the deed. And that's just like us. We are just as guilty as if we done some of the things that is getting done today. We're not doing what we are supposed to be doing. We are not up here. And I pray to the Lord I am. I've asked him to help me with it if I'm not. But in the preaching of God's word, I don't want him to come and say, well, Donnie, you're not preaching. You're not preaching the word of God. You're preaching what you want to hear. And you're preaching to the people that where they can get more people and say, well, you need to come and hear the preacher. And what he's preaching. You're like the preacher and what he's preaching. Well, to me, I think that that is wrong in itself. Because a sinner I hear, one that's lost, that comes into the church, they're not going to like the preacher that preaches the truth. They're not going to like the preacher that preaches about hell. They don't like the preacher by preaching faithfulness. They don't like the preacher that say you need to be set apart. You need to be sanctified. People don't want to hear that. Only thing people want to hear today is how good you are. And yes, you're good. Not only can I say that, but the Lord God Almighty is saying it also there in heaven, and he knows the ones that's good. He knows the ones that wants to hear the gospel. And you are the one that are here. You are here to hear the gospel. Did you realize that when I first come down here, and the first message I preached, if I'd have preached that same message in any other church that I was invited to, I would not be invited back. I would not be invited back to preach. Why? Because I stick with the King James Bible. Because I stick with the when he's speaking about sin. And he speaks to my heart also. Anytime that I stand before you and I tell you something the Lord has told me, the Lord's already told me first. So instead of you getting it one time, I'm getting it twice. I got the first time from the Lord when he gave me the message for the service. And then when I give that message out, he's giving it to me again. I've never seen anybody, I don't know of any preacher that I know of, that preaches from this book and has the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I don't know of a preacher that can get up here and preach and it's going to come out the same way Sunday as it did tonight. It won't happen. Why? Because God's going to have something else different for them to say this Sunday. God always has something for us to touch our heart in a way that where it don't just touch our hearts, but it touches our mind. Over in the book of, I think it's 1 Peter, 2 Peter, one or the other, it's talking about we must strive, or we must want to have the mind of Christ. We need to have the same mind as Christ. How do we do that? Stay in his word. Just because I said that I'm saying, well, I have the mind of Christ. No, I don't have the mind of Christ. I'm supposed to strive into having the mind of Christ. I'm supposed to have the desire to serve him in a way that he can say, well, Donnie, you've done a good job tonight. How many of you really love it when you hear from somebody, and I think the Lord does it. The Lord does it in a way that where we know when someone comes up and says, I like what you've done. See, the Lord uses His people to get His work done. If the Lord didn't use people to get His work done, His work would not get done. It would be just there. We could see people riding down the highway. We could see people walking by the church. But if we don't go out here and we don't do our part, it's not going to get done. Because God cannot do it. God will not do it by Himself. He has to have us to be submissive unto Him to where we'll do it. And where we don't want the glory, like His Son, Jesus Christ, His Son says, I don't want the glory, Father. You need to have all the glory. I don't need to have somebody to pat me on the back and say, well, preacher, you've done a good job this evening. No, if they need to give anybody the praise, give it unto God. Because He is worthy of all the praise. He is worthy of our voice. He is worthy of our strength. He is worthy for everything that we do. We do in His name. He is worthy. He is worthy. I can't do nothing without Him. Here it is now. It's going on almost about a year now. Since I've been having to walk around with that cane. The last Sunday morning, Sunday night, is the first time that I've been able to get out here and walk around and walk it up and down the aisle without the cane. Who am I going to thank for that? Am I going to thank the doctors for that, for the medication that they give me? Nope. I'm going to thank the great physician that touches the body. I know He uses the doctors to have the people healed. I know He uses the doctors and what the doctors have today, because the doctors, they're going to spend 10, 12 years in school and everything, and learn all of this. But the doctors that really, really know the Lord. And I know some know the Lord. But yet, you have some that don't know Him. Some will flat out tell you in Danville. We have a few doctors in the city of Danville, a few surgeons here in the city of Danville, that they will come up to you and say, well, I'm going to do surgery on you tomorrow. You're going to be okay. If I can't do it, it can't be done. Literally, that's what they'll say. I know of a family member where his wife, the gentleman's wife, had to go into the hospital, had to end up having surgery. And while they was in there waiting for the doctor to come in and tell them exactly what time that they was going to have surgery the next day, that the doctor had told them that if he didn't do the surgery, then they weren't going to get no better. They can't depend on nobody else. Nobody else could do the surgery. Then the pastor had come in and heard some of that. And then the doctor was still there. Well, the pastor said, he said, well, I see that y'all talking and everything. I need to, can I have a word of prayer with y'all and then I'll leave? And I'll come back later. The lady said yes. So we had prayer with them. And the doctor told them the prayer that the preacher or the pastor that them had come and said, he said, you cannot believe any of that because God is not going to come down here and God's not going to do the surgery. And God's not going to touch your body if I don't do the surgery. It will not get done. You know what the lady's husband said? He said, for right now, for at this very moment, you're off the case. You're off the case. We got somebody else to do the surgery that knows that God does the healing. Man, I know that we have men and we have doctors that do the surgery, but still with all the technology that they have never come up with a technology to where they can take, where they have made that incision, and they can close it back up, and it can be mended back together. They've never come up with it. Only one can do that is God. Oh yeah, man. Yeah, man may go in there and he may take out what he has to take out. But what are you going to do if you've got the wound still always open? It's going to get infected. And when it gets infected, what's going to happen? You're going to get sicker. And sicker and sicker. And then you're going to eventually die. They cannot mend the flesh back together. Oh, they've tried. They've come out with these little strips and everything. You come in there and they put that strip on you like a little band-aid and everything, try to pull its skin back tight together. I noticed too they ain't doing that no more either because they know it don't work. But I'm saying all of that is that I know the one that does the healing. I know the one that performs that innocent little child in a woman's womb there that is going to come forth. The doctors cannot do that. Oh, they want to think they can. They want to think they can because they come out here. Where do you use? Oh, say maybe 10 years ago, they said they would go out here and clone somebody. Who was that animal they cloned? Oh, was it Dolly? Sheep. Hey, how long did Dolly live? Dolly didn't live that long. But yet God, of all of his power, can touch that wound that's in that lady, in that woman, and can form a child. And that child can grow and grow and grow and grow within her belly. Then 9 months later, she can give birth. Just because the mother gave birth to that child, does that child quit growing? No. Continues on to grow. Continues on to age. See, that's God.
God's the only one that can do that. Just like little Salem. I know that Brother Bill and Sister Donna and Sister Pam and Brother Julia, I know that they thanking the doctors that they had. But they know where it come from. They know where the touch come from. The touch come from Almighty God. And just like I said, on that Wednesday night, when it said something, I forgot what it was about then, but it said it. She's going to have to go and have more surgery. And I was concerned about it. And I walked up the aisle and God gave it to him right then. He said, I don't make no mistakes. And I'm not going to waste a miracle. God has never wasted a miracle on me. Oh man, I've wasted a whole lot of stuff on him. I've wasted my life away on him. Some things that I knew that I should have done, I did not do. But he has never one time failed me. He has never one time told me something and he did not keep his word at it. He always keeps his word. Always. You know why he keeps his word? Because he knows that his word is settled there in heaven. It's settled there in heaven and it has my name written within them pages. I don't know what number I am, but my name is in the Lamb book. B-O-O-K. In that one book of life. Like yours is. If you're here tonight and you're saved, your name is in the same book that my name is in. And he didn't write my name down with no blue ink. He didn't write my name or your name down with no black ink. You know what he written it down in? The crimson blood. Every blood that his son has spilled that day on Calvary. The Father had took that blood. And he saved it. He saved it. Why did he save it? I believe he saved it for one reason and one reason only. Where the sinner, when he come to Jesus, and he says yes to Jesus and say, Jesus, I thank you. Something that just spoke to my heart. And at the time, I didn't know it. I didn't know who it was. I just know something had moved in on my life. I didn't know who it was. But I'm so thankful that when the Holy Ghost of God, when he moved upon my heart, and when he got there, he just didn't say, well, I'm going to teach you some things right now, but said now, in a little while I'm going to have to leave you. No. The Son of God, he says, I'm going to leave you with a comforter. A comforter. Now, have you ever thought about the comforter? Which we know in whom the comforter is, and that's the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. But Jesus called him the comforter. Why? Because he can comfort us when we are hurting, When we lose a loved one. When we go through trials and troubles in our life. He, the comforter, he will come by and he will throw his arms around my shoulder and says, I know your heart's a little heavy right now, but everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be just fine. Lord have mercy.
Everything's going to be just fine. Everything's going to be just fine. What does it say in the book of Hebrews? I think it is Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Says, I beseech you therefore, brother. I beseech you. He says, I'm speaking to you. That's who I'm beseeching. I'm speaking to you, and I want you to listen to what I have to say. And I want you to just keep your mouth shut now. You listen to what I have to say. And if you do, then you don't have to worry.
You won't have to worry about things that's going on. Because the things that's going on, you're not going to have. You're not going to have any dealings with it. Because I'm going to deal with it before it gets to you. I'm going to deal with that problem before it comes to you. Because I know that you're not strong enough to take on the problem. He said, but with me, what did he say in the book of Philippians? All things are possible. All things is possible. As long as we with the Lord. It's nothing that we cannot do. It's nothing that Faith Baptist Church as a whole cannot do. As we come together, unite together, one and all, it's nothing that we cannot do. The devil cannot hold us back. He's tried, hadn't he? Hadn't the devil tried to hold Faith Baptist Church back? The devil's trying to hold me back. But as long as we put our faith in the Father and in the Son and in the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, nothing can hold us down. Nothing can hold us down. You say, well, preacher, something's holding us down. We're not having no people to come in. We're not having no new visitors to come in. We're not having no new people wants to come in. Well, I'll say this much. Faith Baptist Church is not by itself. It's all around. We come by the tabernacle every Sunday and Wednesday. They have fell off. People have no concern about their own life. And if they don't have concern about their own life, you know they don't have no concern for the families. But you have concern for your life. You have respect for yourself. You have respect for each other that's in here. And you have respect for the people that's out here. We can have respect for people. We don't have to like and we don't have to love what they do. But I believe God has asked us to have enough respect for them to say, just come on. Would you come on and try us just one time? I mean, just come one time. I mean, even today now, when I go up to somewhere and they tell me they don't go to church anywhere, I'll invite them to him. I says, but now, before I leave, I said, come down and give us a try. And if you don't think that you can come down there and give us a try, go to a Bible-believing church where they believe in the truth of God's Word, where they believe that a sinner can get saved. And I've told many of them, I says, there's not but one thing different between me and you. We're both sinners. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And the others are here lost sinners. That's the only difference. And I'm supposed to have enough respect for you to call you my friend. But you know something, today people don't even want to hear that. I wish there was some way, I know it's not, but I wish there was some way to where I could get it around to the people and get it in the heart and get it in their mind. That what I want for thy life is to be happy. They can say they're happy today. They're not happy. An individual that has served God, an individual that has come to church, an individual that has been faithful to God in the past, and now they out in the world and they don't even want to come to church or do this or that. They are people most miserable. They are. They are miserable. Because they don't know really what they're looking for. And I know it's people in the city of Dan would not even come out here to hear me preach. But I'm not the only preacher that's in the city of Danville. I just like for them to come into God's house, wherever it may be, and be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they can give their life over to a God that loved them so much that he was willing to allow his son to leave heaven. I mean, he's the one that asked his son. His son, I'm paraphrasing all of this. I don't think his son really wanted to leave heaven. I really don't. But see, the father knew that for me and for you to have any kind of hope or have any kind of joy or any kind of peace or happiness, that he had to send his son. Why didn't God the Father go? Well, God the Father did. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. All three of them came. All three of them took up the body of man. I'm so thankful for that. If it wasn't for the body of man, I wouldn't be here. Neither would you. I just want people to be as happy as I am. I want people to be just as crazy as I am. I mean, you know, I'm crazy. I know that. But one thing about it, I was the craziness that I was, and I am today, is that I was screwed on the right nut. And not only was I screwed on the right nut, but that nut was also sealed with the lock. You know that tuba stuff that you can get and you can put around your threads on the screws there? And it's called Loctite, like you said. You can put it on the thread, turn it and lock it down, and just let it sit there for a little while. You cannot unlock it. A wrench will not take it off. You almost have to have a hacksaw to get it off. But I'm just as crazy as a June bug. I'm just as crazy as a bed bug. You know, if you want to call me crazy, they ain't gonna hurt my feelings one bit. Ain't gonna hurt me one bit. Things like that don't hurt me. It don't bother me. When I weigh 308 pounds, people, my wife, she gets, my, she, I wish she would, and my daughter both would get so fretted. She says, I don't know why in the world people just continue picking on you about your weight. I said, don't bother me. I said, I'm just thankful that I got a wife that can cook that good. I said, evidently, they don't have nobody that can cook that good. But I know that, you know, which I didn't, you know. I had to end up losing some, which I did. I thank the Lord for that. Amen. I don't want to quit tonight, but I read them better. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And we thank you, Father, for what you have done for me, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that for each one of these individuals that come out tonight to hear something from heaven, I pray, Lord Jesus, that they heard something that would encourage them, Father. Not because I said it, because it's your word. And Father, for the people that is the family of the individuals that's here. Lord, we know that there's many family members, even my own family members, Father, says that they don't have to be in church to be a Christian. Father, I do not believe that. Father, I will not get in an argument with nobody about that, but I just do not believe it. I believe, Father, that they need to come and hear the gospel. Father, we pray now that you'll go with us, each one of us, to our respective homes tonight. That we can be dismissed tonight from the love of each one that's here. But Father, that we will never be dismissed from the love that we have for you, Father, and the love that you have for us. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you. We want to praise your wonderful name. Because it's in the name of Jesus Christ that I'm alive and well. Thank you, Father. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.